There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Okay, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here. And a lot to do this hour. We're going to start off with our leadoff batter and the Attorney General of the state of Alabama, Steve Marshall, joining us now for a conversation. It's not even a recap, but an update on a conversation that, Attorney General, you and I have been having for it's years now, right? It's been years.
Yeah, we've been having this conversation, particularly on this issue, since 2018.
Well, let's talk about that issue, and that's the issue of Alabama and fighting for this, to keep our at least one more, you know, seven congressional seats, not lose one. And this was based, and I want to get into your part of this and the lawsuit, but first part of this was making sure Alabama fully participated in the census, right?
No, it was. And by the way, congratulations to Alabama as a whole with 99.9% rate. Really commend Governor Ivey and her team. I know they worked very hard to work on not only those that were self-responding, which Alabama had a pretty good rate on that front, but also then finding those that we needed to additionally be counted. So Alabama's done its part, and now hopefully the litigation is going to help us moving forward.
Okay, so explain that part to folks that have not been following this with our conversations for years, that it is the, we've done our part now. What are other states doing? What did the sense, what is our issue with that in as a litigant in this?
Yeah, you know, we've got lots of moving parts, and the central focus for us right now is the litigation that we filed back in May 2018, and it's a very specific question involving the census itself, because I think everybody knows, based on sort of civics classes growing up, that the way that we receive representation in the House of Representatives is based on population, and so the census itself defines that apportionment count to see how those seats would be allocated, and what our experts have told us, and from the very beginning while we filed the lawsuit, that if for purposes of that apportionment count, if we count those who are in this country unlawfully, then Alabama is going to lose one of its congressional seats. And also remember, not only is it a congressional seat, but it's also one of the votes on the Electoral College. And so we have challenged that principal question, you know, which I think is almost commonsensical in many respects, that if you're in this country without lawful authority, that means you either came here illegally or stayed longer than you were allowed to, you can't vote in a federal election, then why in the world should that presence in a particular state allow that state to benefit while others don't? And so we have that case pending in front of Judge Proctor in Birmingham. We initially sued the Department of Justice, but then we've had multiple blue states as well as blue larger cities intervene and argue against us. We've now finished all our discovery. We survived the initial request to dismiss our litigation by others, and we're working with Judge Proctor to get that finalized. But what's interesting, Sean, is we've talked all about this as we've gone along. You know, we also have now had the president step in back in July of this year with a memorandum that basically adopted the position that we've taken in this case, where he has told the Census Bureau themselves to exclude for purposes of the apportionment count those who are in this country illegally. And now that case has been challenged out of New York. It has now been presented to the United States Supreme Court. And right now that case is going to be fast-tracked to be heard by the court on November 30th. And that likewise will have an impact on what we're doing here with our case.
Hey, okay, back to the civics part of it and the common sense part of it, Attorney General. Let's talk about this. So if they want to count the total number of people, human beings here, for some kind of just the knowledge, I don't have a problem with that. But
right,
when it takes that step to apportionment, I keep getting frustrated, because maybe those People know better than me, but I don't get it. You said it right at the beginning. You figure out how many citizens you have so you can figure out how many seats out of the 435 that you get.
I mean, what we've done is incentivize California not to enforce our immigration laws. Because I think if you look at
citizen,
the states that are going to benefit, it's California and Arizona are ones that are going to receive additional representation, while Alabama, Ohio, and Montana, for example, won't.
I mean, reverse engineer this. I know you've done this, but I'm just getting this as a thought starter for people. If the idea here is that only citizens, right? Only citizens are represented in a representative government. Only citizens. So, therefore, why would you use a total that's grander than the number of citizens to decide apportionment? It seems like it's just a flaming red mistake right there.
No, absolutely. And what I think is unique is, and some people question, well, why has this issue never come up before?
Yeah.
Well, we've not seen the number of those in this country unlawfully rise to the level that they have, that it could impact the allocation of those representatives in the House of Representatives. So because we now have the numbers accounting in the millions, and if you look at what the data suggests is that those who are in this country unlawfully really are concentrated in about three or four states primarily, then what we've done is, again, incentivize sanctuary cities, incentivize other states for their own selfish gains to allow people to stay in this country unlawfully when our immigration law would not allow that.
Okay, but let's go outside the unlawful numbers, and let's just say there were people, I mean, if you're going to do this, and there were people here that were on some kind of work visa or something like that, do they get counted?
Right now, they get counted, and that
they're
is not actually
citizens.
Not part of our litigation itself. But that number itself, I think if we were to look at, Sean, really is not enough to tip the needle one way or the other.
But here's the problem. I'm a stick in the mud, and even though it doesn't tip the numbers, you might as well get this lawsuit done, then do the next one. Let's have clarity, distinct clarity, on who gets representation in Washington.
Yeah, and I think it's one of the discrete issues that's going to be before the court here in November, because what... Excuse me. The challenge to the Trump memorandum by the left-leaning groups is really sort of focuses on this definition of a citizen within the Constitution and within our statutes. And so kind of the issue that you just raised, along with the broader issue of clearly those who are in this country unlawfully, is whether or not they are included within that definition. And we will have the opportunity to weigh in with a brief by October 30th of this year, where we get to advance the position that we're making here in our litigation, along with Congressman Mo Brooks. And so it's a good opportunity for us to be able to present not only the factual basis, but also the legal arguments that we're presenting through our complaint already to the Supreme Court on an issue that, as we've discussed already, is of vital importance to Alabama and maintaining that representation in Congress.
Have we looked at the numbers and said, if you pull out, and I don't know if those numbers are available or a breakout, you pull out the people that are not citizens out of California and Texas and elsewhere, does that let us retain our congressional? I mean, is this just a battle for nothing, or will we continue with seven districts?
No, this is clearly a battle of complete importance. And although, the other issues that have kind of been around the census has been when that census was going to close. And if you recall, there was an effort out west to be able to extend the deadline that was otherwise set by the Census Bureau. And fortunately, we've prevailed on that. And again, as you described earlier, Alabama's done its part. The problem is, even if Alabama, like in the situation we have here with almost 100% participation, that if we don't exclude those who are in this country unlawfully, then again, we think Alabama's going to lose that seat.
I've been preaching this a couple of years, how serious it is. So I hope people, make their voices heard at a federal level on this one.
But, and again, it speaks why, the new Supreme Court justice needs to be confirmed, because it's important for us to have someone who's focused on the law that interprets our Constitution correctly. And we think that Amy Coney Barrett will give us a fair shake. Now, I don't know exactly how she would rule, nor the other justices, but our argument here, particularly as it relates to who is a citizen, goes back to the origins of our Constitution and the debate that took place when that document was drafted. And we clearly know that she was somebody that will not attempt to insert her personal opinions about what the law should be or what the Constitution should say, but instead focus on specifically what it says.
I've noticed, Attorney General, my theory is that those that push back against Judge Barrett, and we've seen it last week, are really pushing back against the Constitution. It's not even specifically Judge Barrett. It's adhering adherence to the Constitution that will unravel things that they would like to see for this country.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they want to allow for that Supreme Court to basically be, you know, an additional legislative body. I mean, we can point to the many decisions that have come out, you know, just in the last decade, in which there was clear legislative making by the court when they were not pleased with what Congress did. And at some point, I think we've all has had a national narrative on truly what is the appropriate role of that Supreme Court. And I think Amy Coney Barrett said very clearly in her confirmation hearings, it's the judge's responsibility to interpret the law. It's not to be able to make policy for this country.
Got to feel that this is going to be done, right? The confirmation is going to happen.
I think we feel pretty confident that the votes are there. You know, there's still obviously procedural hurdles that have to be overcome over the next couple of weeks, but I think the hope for everybody is that before we have the presidential election, that she will be sworn in, and I think she'll be a remarkable justice.
All right, so I want to talk about we were talking about absentee voting actually earlier in the show. Alabama's absentee voter law, the legal challenge on that. Talk about where we are.
When we talk about judicial rulemaking, mm-hmm. This is what we've seen go on across the country. And the good thing is that we've seen, by and large, the appeal courts push back against district judges that tried to create their own new laws for voting in this country. We recently had litigation in Birmingham, order entered, which would have invalidated Alabama's witness requirement and ID requirement for absentee ballots, as well as require something that the judges described as curbside voting, although it's not authorized under Alabama law. And the good thing, we filed a request for the 11th Circuit to stop that order, and they gave us, I would call it a two-thirds victory, which would be to set aside what the judge tried to do on removing the witness or notary requirement and the ID requirement, but has at least allowed currently for this idea of curbside voting, although we can't completely tell you what that means because there's no provision for it under the law. We filed last week a request for a stay with the U.S. Supreme Court. We received the reply of those on the other side earlier today, and we'll finish our briefing schedule later this afternoon, and so we look forward to the Supreme Court giving us the final victory and allowing the laws of the state to continue to control, and that we have a valid and reliable election results here in November.
Yep. Well, and hopefully we do our part. How it's going to look around the rest of the nation, I don't know. I don't know exactly how we look on that next morning of November 4th. Attorney General Steve Marshall, as always, I appreciate your time. Thanks for being on with us and keeping this conversation going.
Thanks. We'll talk soon.
All right. There he is, Attorney General Steve Marshall, joining us right here on Midday Mobile. Come back, grab your calls on this at 343-0106, 343-0106.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Back to it. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5, online at fmtalk1065.com. We grab a podcast a la carte there, plus online opinion poll questions would you support Bayfest coming back? Would you go if Bayfest returned? You can check that out on our website and on our Facebook page. Also, check us out at Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. Don, have we put anything on it? Let's put a picture of something. And maybe Murphy. That's, by the way, that's Dalton's dog. When you go to the Facebook page and check out the Howl-a-ween, that's right, Howl-a-ween pet costume contest and the fabulous prizes, big thank you to Lola Bells, you'll see that dog model is one of the Orwig family. That's Murphy, and he's dressed up. So y'all check that out. I'm going to try to get pictures of our rugs, our little rugs with four legs up. They were supposed to, supposedly, I saw the costumes that have, you're going to go ahead and put that on the Instagram page?
You said to get started.
Yeah,
so,
but not me.
I thought I'd
like
come in,
other
snap
stuff,
a quick picture.
This is the fight I go through with Leanna, that I don't like a bunch of, but the reason we don't have all the camera, I don't want a bunch of pictures of me.
I'll give you final approval. here in this next break before I post it. But you said post something on Instagram.
That's right. So you post that? Okay. All right. So it is. That's what happens to me. Does Murphy realize how famous he's gotten with his photograph?
Murphy has no idea. I think he has a big head because he always assumed he would one day be famous.
Right.
He has no idea that he's the face of the costume contest campaign from FM Talk 106.5. And we've got, he's basically like the Jennifer Lopez of dogs. We have three or four costume changes for Murphy for this Halloween. We're going to have him in and out. The newest one, the Chucky costume.
Just like the horror movie Chucky?
Like the horror movie. It came with a fake knife and everything. So look for that on the FM Talk costume contest page. We're going to have Murphy, a.k.a. Chucky doll Murphy.
He's got... we don't even have a picture of our dogs yet, even though I saw the costumes laid around the house. Like, they took some pictures of the referee costumes for the dogs. And Murphy's already on to another costume change?
Yeah, he's moving around.
All right, check him out online. And if you go to Instagram, there'll be some candid photo of me in here in the studio.
That'll be the start. We'll post that picture, and then we will keep up with Instagram from here on out. That's a promise.
Okay, and then we can take pictures of you.
You're right.
All right. Hey, let me tell you about the folks over at Harry's. And I've been telling you about Harry's for years and years and years now. And it even gets better. Okay, so I've been shaving with them for about 7 years is what it is. And I love, of course, the great shave. That's the keystone to the whole thing. The blades have always been great. But they're even better now. And I love the convenience. I love the price. And those things all come into play right now. Harry's has just come out with their sharpest blades ever. And unlike some other razor companies, they're not charging you for their product improvements. Harry's new sharper blades are still as low as $2 each, which is that thing I love so much about Harry's. And you can check this out for yourself right now. Special deal for y'all. Special trial set. First of all, you can find Harry's. I want to go ahead and tell you. You can find Harry's in the store. People are always saying, look, I found Harry's. Yeah. You can find Harry's in the big box and drug and grocery stores near you. But if you like to shop online and support this show, you can get the trial set for just $3 when you use my code SeanS at checkout at harrys.com. I'll remind you more about that in a second. Here's how they tested those sharper blades, because I really didn't know what's the benefit of a sharper blade with Harry's. I've always had a great shave. They said, okay, so they ran this this study. New blades are so sharp that in the study with guys shaving four times a week, guys reported that with Harry's new blades, their eighth shave was as smooth as their first. So you get more life out of that $2 blade. And that's something I can understand. Harry's is available wherever you shop. Big box, drugstore, grocery store near you, just head on over to the grooming aisle to get Harry's sharpest blades ever. And if you like to shop online and support this show, Harry's has a great offer for y'all. New customers, y'all get $5 off a Harry's trial set when you use my code SEANS. So S-E-A-N-S, I guess S for Sullivan, S-E-A-N-S, SEANS at harrys.com. That includes a five-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and travel cover, all for just $3, plus you get the free shipping. But don't forget to use my code SEANS, S-E-A-N-S, at checkout, and give Harry's sharper blades a try. All right, a couple things on my list here, and we can talk about when we get back. Somebody was asking about the absentee thing. I don't, when they close it down at 1, now there's some hubbub about that, but it has to have a, right, this event that, this absentee workshop, we'll call it, that went on from 9 to 1 at the Annex, Mobile County Annex, Government Street Annex. You have to set a time on it. I don't, you know, acting like they shut it down at 1 o'clock because they're trying to keep people from voting. But you have to have some, like, if we're going to have an event, it's from this to this, right? And at the end of it, you end it. I mean, I don't, and then my other question about that, too, is if you did go stand in the line of a bunch of people to figure out how to absentee vote because you didn't want to go stand in the line of a bunch of people on Election Day, what exactly did you get solved with that one? I know y'all are all registered. Everybody's ready here. How many of y'all have done the absentee thing? Y'all done that? Or are you going to show up in person? All right, get a news update, Dr. Bill's fancy forecast, and then we'll be back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back to FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Phone number 343-0106, 343-0106. And head to the phones here. And first up, let's go to Tony in Fairhope. Hey, Tony.
Hey, Sean, I had a quick thing about the absentee ballot.
Okay.
I just mailed mine. The corner says additional postage required. Well, it actually takes 3 stamps if you mail it, or it's $1.20 if you mail it to the post office.
What?
People at the post office. Oh, yeah, you got to pay to
three stamps.
Yeah, and she said a lot of people are just putting 2 stamps on it, and it's going to come back.
Holy cow. No way. Tony, this is like that could be huge. That could be a huge issue.
Of course it is. A lot of people don't know that they have to pay.
I've never absentee voted, so I don't know.
Well, this is my first time. My first time.
So you had to have three of the stamps. Aren't they like the forever stamps or something? You have 3 of those.
50 cents, whatever postage is nowadays, but at the post office, it was $1.20. I mailed mine and my wife's. $1.20 each, or 3 stamps if you put stamps on it yourself. So if you put 2, it might come back to you.
That is huge, Tony. I had no idea. No idea. Nope. So if somebody, listen to Tony, y'all, if you're doing your absentee, you got to have, it's $1.20 to do this.
If you do it at the post office,
yeah.
Or it's 3 stamps if you do it yourself, which is probably $1.50.
Susan says, whatever. Is that 3 stamps for the application or 3 stamps for the actual ballot?
The envelope to mail it back to
the actual ballot.
Yeah.
Okay.
I filled out my ballot. It goes into a secret envelope. That has to be witnessed. And then that envelope goes into a brown manila envelope, which requires 3 stamps or $1.20 at the post office.
Tony, that's right now, you're the most valuable call I've had in a while on that stuff. That,
well, it's going to save a lot of people are going to be angry after the election when their ballots get sent back to them for insufficient postage.
Yes, and it's going to cause a lot of disruption out there.
You bet.
Wow. Tony, thanks for the call. Appreciate that. This goes back to interviews we've had a couple times with Dr. Yasensack for the University of South Alabama. We'll get him back on here before Election Day. But he talked about, we started, doing those interviews back in the spring and then in the summer about the pitfalls for voting. But he talked about the fraud and the things that go on, you know, the ballot harvesting and all that, but he also pointed out a world of stuff that doesn't get talked about, of just errors and things that can keep things from coming in. All right, so thank you, Alabama Al. Alabama Al, 55 cents equals first class letter. Okay. John said you can't double stamp a triple stamp. You're confusing me now. Also, you see our buddy Philip said, go to the bank. Here's his take on the absentee thing. Go to the bank and take out every cent that you have to your name. Well, that won't be heavy. Stuff it into an envelope, address it to yourself, and drive to an out-of-town mail drop. Put it in there and hope for the best. If this would make you feel uncomfortable, I suggest voting in person, if possible. Let's go back to the phones. And Sherry in Mobile's up next. Hey, Sherry.
Yes, good afternoon, Sean.
Afternoon to you.
Yeah. Hey. I was recognizing this the postage thing way back long ago, and I knew a lot of people weren't going to be aware of the postage. And my mom absentee balloted it a number of years ago, and it's a large envelope and has a lot of packing in it. You know, the envelope and the form and all that. And so it costs to send an absentee ballot back. Not just 1 stamp. I hope people realize that they can just go turn it in themselves at
right.
the courthouse, you know, Monday through Friday.
But if somebody's like a shut-in, Sherry, right, like that they're a shut-in, they're not going out, the reason maybe they're doing absentee now versus before they had never done it. Like people in my family have done it because they'll be traveling or something like that, be out of the country.
Right.
If somebody's doing this because of COVID and they're scared to be around other groups of people, that's why I was asking the question about Saturday's event, but maybe they'll have an issue with going down just to drop it off in person, you know?
Right.
That's the fact that
I mean,
has not been.
You can still go down and drop it off in person, wear your face mask, social distance, and all of that.
I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you, Sherry. But there's going to be somebody out there who says, "Well, I don't want to go outside at all." You know, I don't know. But the fact that this has not been widely publicized about the postage thing, this is big to me. I think this is going to come back big time.
Yeah, see, I knew when my mama did it about 5 or 6 years ago before she passed, and so I helped her with it. I sat at the table with her, and, you know, and that's how I learned about the absentee ballot. I had never done one, and that's when I realized the postage, you know. And
does it say it on there? Does it say, like, postage equals this or something like that?
No, well, on the envelope, it's actually stamped. It has, like, the places for the stamp.
Okay. So there is something there to tell you that you need to do this.
Right.
Very good. Sherry, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. I want to go to, let me run to Janet first here, because Janet is a letter carrier, and people that are on the front lines of this can help us a lot. Janet, thanks for the call. So what's the deal here?
I just wanted to tell you that we're instructed that if there is an absentee ballot in an outgoing mail, like in their mailbox, we pick it up, whether it has any postage on it, and we're going to give it to the courthouse. I mean,
it's
going to go wherever it's supposed to go. We're not going to send it back to postage. We're instructed to take it no matter what. Now, we would appreciate it if you could put the proper postage on it.
Right.
But we're going to make sure it gets there. We're not allowed to do anything with political mail, but make sure it gets to where it's going.
So even if this is good, so if it didn't have the three stamps or the two or whatever, if y'all are taking it and y'all are... And you're delivering it.
It's going. Yes, we have to deliver it, whether it has zero postage on it, because we realize, too, that there are shut-ins.
Yep.
You know, and we pick up their mail all the time. But now, if it's anything else, they have to have postage on it. But when it comes to political, it has to go. We are not allowed to delay political mail at all.
You just, I've gotten such an education here over the last few minutes. I appreciate it. Thank you, Janet.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so there you go. So Janet, who's a letter carrier, says they take it no matter whether it has. But yes, don't try to do this racket thing. I think that was the first thing I came up with when I was a kid. I remember telling my parents, I'm like, okay, because I had seen a return letter or something in the mailbox. I said, so if I could put, remember I said, my parents sitting there staring across the kitchen table at me. I said, okay, what if I put the place I want the letter to go as the return address? And then put it in the mailbox. And if they return it to sender, bam, there it is. It goes to where and they rolled their eyes and said, eat your dinner, be quiet. All right, Paul in Mobile up next. Hey, Paul.
Sean, I want my stamps back. I put 3 stamps on mine and I could have saved my money. there is an instruction sheet that comes with absentee. I was just voted absentee. And it clearly says that you need 3 first-class stamps. I mean, if you read the instructions, it's right there.
Okay, Paul, let's say you and I were going in the convenience store, and there's that sign that says, use this door. And how many times do we see people try to open the other door?
I understand. I don't really understand, but I'm...
You've witnessed it.
Yeah, I witnessed
it. Okay. All right, that's all I'm saying, man.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, man. All right, let's go to... You know, it's like use this door. There's somebody just rip it on the other door. Hey, it's Ron Reams checking in. Hey, Ron.
Hi there, Sean.
Hey there, Ron.
I'm on the Mobile County Board of Registrars, so I don't have a whole lot to do with the absentee ballots. However, I wanted to report that there is a line. I mean, I'm sitting in my parking place across the street from the courthouse annex, and there is a long line of people trying to get in the courthouse to either, since this is the last day to register,
yep,
they're either trying to register or they're trying to cast an absentee ballot here at the courthouse annex. I hate to do this because I know how much the ladies in the absentee ballot office are working. But if people have any questions at all about the absentee ballots, which I imagine would include how many stamps do you put on the envelope And can you pay can you pay $1.20 in stamps just like you do? I can't imagine them charging you 30 cents more just because you put stamps on it.
Yeah, I don't.
So what I'm saying is call the absentee ballot office at 251-574-6400. Now, I know their phones are probably already ringing off the hook, but that's what the office is there to answer your questions. So it's 574-6400.
There it is. So get the question answered. Don't have and Janet said, and I, listen, if you're supposed to, the rules are you do the stamps, you do it correctly, but if not, Janet does say that those are being delivered anyway. So be some that are short on postage.
And I'm sure the folks in the absentee ballot office will verify that.
So there you go. It's a huge upsurge. I'm not overstating things when I say this is a crazy amount of absentee ballot voting.
Let me tell you one thing else. We got people illegally parking out in front of the courthouse.
Yes.
They have pulled off to the side of the curb and have gotten out of their car to go into the courthouse. And that is not the proper place to park. You can't just park your car in front of the building and go in and take care of your business. It's not supposed to be that way. You got to go find yourself a parking place.
Now,
otherwise, you're going to get a ticket.
With the powers, the registrar powers, can you go ahead and do a citizen's or a registrar's arrest of them at this point?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, just wanted to check.
See, I've got 9 cars right now on the side of Government Street.
It's a crime.
In front of the courthouse.
It's crime wave.
Yeah.
It is. Ron, thank you for the
call.
Thanks, Ron. Run the news. Come right back. Grab your calls as well. Yeah, so, I mean, for the text line, this is what I've been saying since hour number one. Backstrap Stacker says, nothing like waiting in line to cast an absentee ballot because you're afraid of catching COVID while you wait in line to vote in person. Exactly what I opened up the show with. I mean, that's... I'm trying to follow logic on this.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, this segment of Midday Mobile brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They're online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. It's my man, Trey. We've been doing this for 12 years, getting ready to go in this 13th year for Mobile and Baldwin Counties. It's the formula is simple. You got junk, and he can get rid of it. But the complexities are all the different places you could have junk, and he can get rid of it. Could be at your house, could be outside your house, could be big stuff, swing sets, trampolines that go sailing through the air. It could be a storage unit that you've been paying on every month, but who knows what the heck is in there. Get rid of it. Save that money. Maybe you're getting a house ready to sell, getting an office straightened up, wherever. You got junk. You got a bunch of stuff. Like, I just want it gone. That's when you call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. And Trey and the crew, they will set an appointment time with you, a day and a window of time that they'll be there. They'll quote you a price. You say yes, I get to work and get it done. It's just like that. First thing you need to do is call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or go online and book that appointment, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, and get the junk gone. Get it to Monday. Get started. Fresh week here. Get started with that. All right. If I run out of time, I want to make sure y'all know that my man not only is dominating the FM Talk 106.5 College Pick'em Challenge, he's number one in our subgroup here of College Pick'em. I'm in a 85-way tie for ninth place. But, Dalton, you're in the national rankings for College Pick'em. Like, overall, you're what number? 26? Do I remember that correctly? How do I remember that? 26th in the nation. By the way, more of that sports prowess tonight at 6 o'clock, Sports Night with Dalton and Corey. Check it out tonight, and they'll be flexing on that. All right, take some phone calls here. And first up, let's go to JD in Mobile. Hey, JD.
Yeah, I just want to mention something about Tommy Tuberville.
Okay.
He had some commercials on TV, and I hadn't seen it lately, but I was just hoping somebody was going to hold his feet to the fire and do some checking after he goes in office. But he said he wasn't going to accept a salary.
Mm-hmm.
We may end up getting what we're paying for, but he said he wasn't going to accept a salary. So I think somebody will hold his feet to the fire and let him not accept a salary.
You know, J.D., I've always wondered when people say that, they're not going to take, and there's a lot of elected officials say they're not going to take a paycheck, and they don't, and the president's done it. I know Mayor Stimson's talked about it. But does that change somebody's vote in a general? I mean, would you go, well, you know, I don't like this other person's policies and their view of the world, but dang it, they're not going to take a salary, so I'm going to vote for them. I don't know why they do that. Does it get you votes?
It's not going to get my vote, but I mean, I'm just saying, you know, that's just like the president. You mentioned the president. He didn't take a salary at all, right. But they're talking now about how he's in a bind and financially and everything. If he's in such a bind, I wonder why he's not taking it now. I don't believe he's still taking it, probably, but I mean, that's just.
I hear what you're saying, and we'll look at it after election time. We'll keep our eyes on it. I just never know why that always gets floated out. I don't know that. I'd like to talk to somebody that made their voting decision based on whether that person was going to take a salary.
It's not going to affect my decision. In fact, I know I'm not going to vote for Doug Jones, and I'm hesitating. I'm wondering if I'm going to just leave that blank or not, because Tuberville is probably most likely going in, but I mean, I don't know whether I'm going to be able to make myself mark that spot.
Well, let me know afterwards, okay?
Thank you.
All right, J.D., appreciate the call. Yeah, maybe I'll get a deluge of texts and emails about this, but have you ever made a decision specifically on a candidate because they said they weren't taking the salary? It seems like a kind of a disposable thing to me. I want to do that Vice story. I really do. I know there's some other stuff, but let me just... So, you know who Jeffrey Toobin is, right? He's the chief legal analyst for CNN. He's talking about dumb stuff here. So, the story from Vice says, New Yorker suspends Jeffrey Toobin for Zoom blank incident. We'll say Johnson. Let me say with presidents, Johnson incident. In a statement to Vice, Jeffrey Toobin apologized for an embarrassingly stupid mistake. Here's what they said. The New Yorker has suspended reporter Jeffrey Toobin. Sources tell Vice it's because he exposed himself during a Zoom call last week between members of The New Yorker and WNYC Radio. Toobin said in a statement to Motherboard, quote, I made an embarrassingly stupid mistake believing I was off camera. I apologize to my wife, family, friends, and coworkers. I believed I was not visible on Zoom. I thought no one on the Zoom call could see me. I thought I had muted Zoom video. End quote. New Yorker spokesperson Natalie Robbie said, Jeffrey Toobin has been suspended while we investigate the matter. End quote. Toobin's Condé Nast email has been disabled, and he has not tweeted since October 13th. He did, however, appear on CNN, where he's the chief legal analyst on Saturday, and said, Jeff Toobin has asked for some time off while he deals with a personal issue, which we have granted, end quote, CNN said in a statement. Doubleday, an imprint of Random House, which published Toobin's latest book, did not respond to emails. Neither did Toobin's literary agent. Bop about all the different people not responding for comment. If you thought it was muted, if you thought it was video was muted, where's the situation while you're on the Zoom call that you have President Johnson out? I mean, what? Toobin. Can I say I'm surprised? No. All right. Be back tomorrow for another edition of Midday Mobile. Paul Feinbaum Show on the way, and ranked 26 nationally in college pick'em. It's my man Dalton Orwig. Check him and Corey LeBounty out tonight for Sports Night right here at FM Talk 106.5 starting at 6.